إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this life and He mentioned where we are going from here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these two things in perspective for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means that every living thing will taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ, if it is born, it will die. If it was breathing, it will stop breathing. If it was living, one day it will end. Whatever it is. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. I was looking at from my news feed, which I get one of the latest news and not a very happy news, is that some of the oldest baobab trees in Africa are dying. Now the baobab is a tree which has a lifespan, at least up till now, whatever they have measured by carbon dating and so on, has a lifespan of about 2,500 to 3,000 years. Not 100, 3,000 years. 3,000 years means that when Ibrahim alayhi salam was walking the planet, this tree was there. It means that 1500 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, this tree was already 1500 years old. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, this tree was 1500 years old. Right? When the battle for Troy was being fought, this tree was already 1000 years old. Imagine. Now, therefore, if you look at lifespan with that perspective, what is your lifespan? What is my lifespan? 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, what is that lifespan? For that tree, it's nothing. And it's a tree, it's a living thing. I'm not talking about a mountain which has been there from the time the earth was created. I'm talking about a living thing. One day this tree was not there, and then there was a seed, and then the seed sprouted, and the tree grew, and it grew, and it grew. And they're enormous. I've seen some of these baobab trees in Africa. It's in huge, 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 absolutely massive. The reason I'm saying is, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. So everybody is in a flap. You know, is it because of global warming? Point is, no matter what it is because of, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. One day death will come to everybody. Somebody sent me a Mercedes ad of this family in Australia who were driving a Mercedes, and they had this absolutely awesome crash, and the car got completely totaled. And then in this video, which is a Mercedes promotional, it shows how the airbags come into play and how the seat hugs you and how the seat belts clamp on and so forth. And the long and short of the story was that the last shot in that was this whole family is standing outside their completely total Mercedes, and Mercedes says, this is because they were driving a Mercedes. So somebody sent me this thing saying, this is because they were driving a Mercedes. So I sent my reply to them, and I said, please ask Mercedes which car Lady Diana was traveling in. If this happened because they were driving a Mercedes, what car was Lady Diana in? And Lady Diana was two things. One was, she was obviously in a much higher value car than this one, because this was an ordinary, you know, middle class Australian family, and this we are talking about a princess. So you are talking about a Mercedes, which is absolutely top of the line, and it was armored. It was an armored Mercedes, and she was sitting in the back seat, right? So the point I'm making is, kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides who will die. Allah is the one who decides when they will die. When I lived in the US, 1997 or so, 77 or 70 or 97, 98, that period when I was living there, there was a crash which was reported. It was winter. It was there was a heavy breeze, wind, and so on. And there was this car driving down the freeway. he was going through some hilly area, so he was driving down the freeway. There was a hillock on the side of the road. On top of that was a tree. This tree got uprooted. The tree fell on the car. This is a moving car. The tree fell on the car, right in the middle. That car had about 5 passengers in it. One died. The one on whom the tree fell. Exactly, the tree fell on that person in that car. Everyone else was safe except that one person. Ajib. Final story. One of my very good friends, whose father used to pray next to me in our masjid in Springfield, in the masjid where we used to pray, Islamic Society of Western Massachusetts, ISWM. So this gentleman, he was a Pakistani gentleman, he was an elderly man, and he used to pray, we used to pray in the first saf, and this man would pray right next to us. Now, he and I would be in the first saf. One day, one Jummah, he didn't come. And then we heard that there was that he was involved in an accident. And the accident was that his son was driving. He was in the front seat next to the son. And there were 2 other people in the back seat. They were driving a Land Cruiser. One of the safest cars going. Now, near Hartford, the road was very slick with ice and sleet and so on. The car skidded. And it hit a stationary. There was a stationary. I think it was a dumper truck or something which was parked on the side of the road. This Land Cruiser hit that dumper truck and got completely smashed. Now, this person, this friend of mine, the elderly man, this person's father, he was the only one injured, and he broke his leg. Car was total. Everyone was safe, minor bruises and so on. But this man, he broke his leg. So obviously, they called 911. Instantly, the police was there. The ambulances were there. They took him to the hospital in Hartford. When they started looking at the leg, when the doctor started looking at the leg, they discovered that they did a cardiac profile on him very quickly because, you know, the leg needed operation. So they before this, put on the rods and stuff, they did a cardiac profile. They found that he was 4 of his arteries were 90 plus blocked. So the cardiologist said, how is this man walking? I mean, this man should have been dead. So now you've got an emergency. So the emergency, they did a 4-way bypass for him completely. Pakistani man, no insurance. But because he comes in as an accident case in the hospital, gets taken care of him. His entire heart, cardiac work gets done for free. And the leg is broken, the leg is fixed also. Alhamdulillah, he's fine. Kul nafsin zaiqatul maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides who will die, when he will die. And then what does Allah say? Wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawm al-qiyamah. Allah said, only after you die will you get the full value and the full reward for whatever you did. Ujurakum, your ajr, your reward, on the day of judgment, yawm al-qiyamah. And then Allah gives us the criterion. وَمَنْ زُحْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The one who was freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only that person is faz. He is successful always. In the Quran, there are 2 words which I use. One is fala, one is faz. Faz. And fala is success, but temporary success. So after success, another. So like he passes one exam, he's got to go into the next class, another exam, another class, another exam, and so on, so on. But fawz, al-fawz bil jannah. So fawz is complete freedom from all examinations. It's your success, final exam, done, finished, signed, sealed, dusted, done, you are safe. Faqad faz. Who? Man zuhziya anin nar, wa udkhila jannah, faqad faz. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said, this life of this world is nothing but deception. The reason I'm saying this is because Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Bismillah Ta'ala, وَبِ فَضْلِهِ وَبِ قُدْرَتِهِ. We are at the tail end of Ramadan. We are today, inshallah, will be the 29th night of Ramadan al-Kareem. And if the moon is sighted tomorrow, in that is the evening of the 29th fast, then inshallah Mustan we will have Eid on Friday. If not on Friday, then on Saturday, wallah alam. But today is the 29th night, so therefore it is also the last of the odd nights of Ramadan al-Kareem. So there is a chance that this might be one of the nights on which there is Laylatul Qadr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Laylatul Qadr, whichever night it is decreed. And so therefore I think it is important for us now to say, well, now that Ramadan is finishing and we will come out of Ramadan, does Ramadan also come out of us? Or does Ramadan remain within us? Because if Ramadan also comes out of us, then the purpose of Ramadan has not been served. We will come out of Ramadan because that's a matter of the calendar date change. But if Ramadan itself, meaning the spirit of Ramadan, the spirit of obedience, the spirit of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spirit of seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'iyyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if all of this goes away and we go back into our usual, raftar e bedhangi, we go back into our usual way of living a completely, moronic life, then the purpose of Ramadan has not been achieved. We got some sawab and so on and so forth, alhamdulillah. But as I said from the first day, that is not the purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem. Purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem is to inculcate taqwa within us, to make us muttaqeen, inshallah. And that's why we must be very clear in our minds, what is it that I need to do, what is it that we need to do when we go out of Ramadan, to ensure that Ramadan does not go out of us. And that's why I think it's very important to take stock. The reason I mentioned this ayat of the Quran is because to remind myself and you that we are in the middle of an exam. The mistake we make is that we look for results while we are writing the exam. All of you are young people, you have written exams. Some of you have written exams quite recently. If somebody is writing an exam and in the middle of the exam, the man says, well, have I passed? What will you say to him? He said, write the exam, man. Whether you passed or not will be decided after the exam is over, not now. Don't waste your time thinking about have I passed, not passed. You look at the answer which I am writing. Is this the right answer? Should I be writing this answer or some other answer? Do I understand the question? And am I giving the right answer to the question? That is what we should be looking at and thinking about. We should, it's not a question of what is the answer, did I pass or not pass. Now, this is what happens to us where we get stuck when we are in the exam, we forget that we are in the exam and we are looking for results. And so we get discouraged, and if you don't find the results, we feel sad, and we know there is khawf, there is huzur. All of this because we forget where we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, result is there on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, there is no way of coming back to the exam. There is no way of coming back to the exam. رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجَنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُقِنُونَ لَا فِي مُشْكِلَ. I mean, that is a mushkil. That is not possible. Right? Not possible. Because once you have seen and heard, then that is gone. The ghaib is no longer the ghaib. The exam is for the ghaib. So, first thing to remember is, we are in the middle of an exam. Let us concentrate on writing the exam. How must I write the exam? I mentioned that all in the last few days, so I am not going to repeat that. Keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala number one in our lives, ensuring that the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not compromised for any reason, and making sure that whatever we do is a source of benefit for the people, for the world, whatever it is. That is what will ensure that our exam is being written correctly. And remember, this applies to everything. For example, if you say, I am learning deen, I am studying Islamic studies, I am learning Quran and the Sharia and so on. Now, what possibly can go wrong? Why must I think about Allah is number one, and am I benefiting people? Obviously, I'm benefiting people. I'm learning all of this for that reason. And then what happens? You learn it for that reason, then you convert it into a business and you make money out of it. And you are focused on your name and fame in that. So, riya has come in, ikhlas has gone out. Then what happens? So, even though the thing itself that you were doing was alhamdulillah very good, but shaitan deceived you into converting it into something which becomes a musibat for you on the day of judgment. It becomes a hujjat against you. May Allah protect us from that. Instead of that, maybe there is somebody who is not learnt all the sharia and is not a hafiz of the Quran, is not a mufti. Alhamdulillah, he knows enough deen for him to live his own life correctly, because there is no excuse for knowing no deen at all. That's not an option. But yes, I know enough in order to live my life correctly. But I am focused on doing things which are good for the people. I'm doing, my ma'amilat are good, my akhlaq are good. Even though I don't know all of that much of Quran, inshallah al-Mustan, that person is better off, because that person is has ikhlas, that person has sincerity, that person does not have hypocrisy, does not have ostentation, does not want to show off to the people. And that is what we need to always keep on reminding ourselves about. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi, I think it was, who said that the most fortunate person is the one who was born and nobody knew. He lived a good life pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody knew. And he died pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody knew. He said this is the most, is the best person. Because the chance of riya, of showing off, because riya is shirk. Riya is shirk. So, you know, showing off is shirk, because if you are doing something in order to please the people, to show off to the people, then you are doing it to the plea for the people. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no reward for you, because you got the reward which you were looking for in the world itself. And that's why this is very important. Exam, time of exam. So, always we need to examine ourselves and say, am I passing this exam or am I failing this exam? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the door of tawbah open. So even if you suddenly discover in the middle of your life that wallah, I was doing something wrong, make tawbah now. It's never too late. Until we see the malaika, until we see malakul maut, it is not too late to make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive, and inshallah he will forgive, provided we make sincere tawbah. Tawbah to nasuha, make sincere tawbah, not tawbah to show people, make tawbah sincerely and change our ways. Istighfar wa tawbah. So therefore, what must we do? I remind myself and you, is to do two things. Firstly, see what you are doing differently from your normal life in Ramadan. Take a look at that and say, what was I doing differently? One is, I was controlling myself. I was consciously obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu throughout my fasting. I didn't look for why reason, this reason. No, Allah told me not to eat, not to drink and so on. I am going to do that. Finish. There's no other reason I need. The hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient reason for me. And therefore, I will do that. We did this. All of us, alhamdulillah. We did this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting, inshallah. Then, bismillah ta'ala, most of us, we read more Quran than we normally read. So, the second thing, right? Third thing is, that we were more conscious of our salawat, making sure we pray in the masjid than we normally do. Number four, in the context of Taraweeh and Qiyam and so on, we took the trouble to go and listen to some more Quran than we normally listen to. Right? I'm talking about the very, you know, moti cheese, the big main things that we did. Then we were conscious, inshallah, of not using foul language, no ghibat, no backbiting, no wasting of time, you know, no watching World Cup or something. It's not yet on, I know, but you know, even if there was, right? So we didn't do all that. We focused on what gives me maximum benefit. I'm in the middle of Ramadan, let me focus on that, not you know, do something else. We did all that. If somebody misbehaved with us, we didn't retaliate with misbehavior. We said, Anasaim, sir, I am fasting. I will not say anything. I will not respond to you. Wait till after Eid. No, we didn't say that. No, we said, not respond to you, period. Not, I'll see you after Eid. No. So, we did all of this. Now, make a first thing, therefore, is make a list of this. Take stock. of what is it that I have been doing through in Ramadan. So that is the first thing to do. Take stock of that. Second thing is then say, going forward, what are the things that I am going to continue to do? So fasting obviously will not continue to do in terms of the actual physical fasting. Instead, inshallah, let us make the niyat to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, which was the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But continuous fasting, obviously, we will not do. But what does fasting mean to me in terms of controlling myself, in terms of being careful of the boundaries of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, in terms of fulfilling the fara'id of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, right? In terms of changing of my akhlaq, changing my behavior, not behaving the same way that I used to behave, controlling of anger, right? If I get angry in the fasting time, I was not raving and ranting and foaming at the mouth. I was behaving like a human being. So after fasting also, can I behave like a human being? You know, these are the conscious things that we need to take stock of. And then we say, after Ramadan, these are the things that I will continue to do. So on the one hand, make a list of what was I doing in Ramadan, which was different. On the other hand, make a to-do list and say, these are the things that I will continue to do. So 1, 2, 3. I suggest that you do only three lists, three things. Don't make a long list, because long lists are, they look nice, but you can't implement them. So only three things, three top things that I will do. For example, you might say, I will pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. This is the first thing that I will do. I will pray Salatul Fajr and I will play Salatul Isha in the masjid, because Rasulullah ﷺ said, the one who prays Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah, he will get the reward of having prayed all night. So first thing I will do is, I will pray Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Salat in between, inshallah, also I will try, but these two, Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr, I will pray in the masjid, number one. Number two, I was praying Qiyam every day here. So, inshallah, I will pray Tahajjud every day. Even if it is 2 rakat, inshallah, 2 rakat of Tahajjud, I will pray every day for the rest of my life. This is the second point, right? Third one is, I will look at my akhlaq and see which is the one which needs correction the most. It won't be the same thing for everyone. For someone, it will be controlling of anger. For somebody else, it might be controlling of sleep. You know, just you're sleeping like a python, you know, 6 months of the year. It doesn't make sense. So, try to wake up. You know, all great ideas and so on, I don't know of anything which can be achieved horizontally. You have to be vertical to do that. So, therefore, make sure that sleep is the issue. For some other people, it might be shopping is the issue. You know, this greed, just go buy things, go to shopping malls all the time, tawaf of the mall, instead of, you know. So, mall tawaf, reduce this mall tawaf. For somebody else, it might be eating, you know, you should peak out on carbs, right? So, so whatever it is, for some other people, it might be the phone, right? I think for a lot of us are in that thing. Yeah, the phone. Every 3 seconds, I have to look at the phone. Otherwise, wallah, what will happen? Every 3 seconds, must you know, make the darshan of the screen. Right? So, whatever it is, which behavioral change will I bring about in myself? And believe me, jokes apart and so on, humor is a good thing. But some of this stuff is not easier. It will be very tough. So, look at yourself, warn yourself very clearly. This is not going to be easy. It is going to be tough. But you do that because of the benefit that you will see. You know, Muhammad Ali, Rahmatullah Ali, the boxer, one of his quotes is to say that if anyone says that I like working out, he's a liar. He said nobody likes working out. You work out because you know the benefit it will give you in the ring. Nobody likes working out. Somebody says I like working out, he's a liar. He's stupid. Nobody likes doing that. Similarly, take for example, what is the exercise that footballers do? You know, there's a wonderful exercise they do, which is they take these big truck tires, you know, the earth-moving trucks, huge truck tires. They put those truck tires randomly and then they run one step in one tire, the other step in the other tire. It's a way like this, tuck, through those tires. Now, obviously, you get your shins, you know, you get them skinned and you sometimes fall over flat and maybe you bang your head on the truck. But you're doing that. Now, if you go to a footballer and say, what kind of stupid exercise is this? You are never ever going to be jumping through truck tires on the football field. Now, why are you doing that? You know why he's doing that? Because this dexterity, which it gives him, the way of using his legs, the balance it gives him, the timing it gives him, that is what he will use on the field. Not the truck tire, but it is what the truck tire will gives him, which is what he will use on the field. The reason I'm giving you these examples is because it is controlling yourself as far as these things are concerned in our terms of our akhlaq is not in itself, right? Not looking at the phone every 3 seconds will give you an attention span of at least a monkey, which is a good thing from where we are now, which is like a goldfish, right? So at least try to be like monkeys, attention span of a monkey, right? One banana worth. So seriously, think about ourselves, think about this and say, how on earth are we going to achieve anything if we do not even have the attention span of a monkey? I mean, what are you going to, what's the good of talking about this great khilafah that you're going to establish? You will not establish anything. You can't even establish khilafah on your phone. Forget about the rest of, forget about the rest of the world, right? So we need to change our ridiculous lifestyles. So very important, what was I doing in Ramadan which was good, and out of this, what will I apply in my life going forward? I just give you three examples. For example, you might say, well, I already pray tahajjud. I already pray, Isha and Fajr in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, all power to you. Put something else. Whatever it is. For each of us, it will be different. But make sure that you are putting it in an order of priority. What do you think is the most important thing? Because at the end of the day, we go back to the ayat which I recited. Which is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ زُخْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. What is it that will give me relief from the fire and give me entry into Jannah, which will make me successful? Now, having made the list of three things in order of priority that you need to implement in your life, you must do two more things. One is then do a gap analysis, which is depending on the thing that I have decided to do, what is it that I am doing today in that respect? So say, for example, you say, I have decided that I am going to read one juz of Quran every morning. Or every day. Now, gap analysis is to say, how much Quran am I reading today? Is it one juz? Is it less than that? That would be the gap. I am making a niyat to say, I will pray tahajjud every day. Currently, what is the state of tahajjud in my life? Do I pray at all? First time I heard the word, or do I pray every alternate day? Do I pray once in a week? What is it, my situation of tahajjud? That becomes a gap analysis. I have decided that I will control my anger. I will not yell and scream at people. Currently, what do I do? Do I yell and scream? Do I not yell and scream? What is the situation? So gap analysis is important, because without gap analysis, we don't know what more we need to do and how we need to do that. So the first thing. Second thing we need to do is to create measurement parameters, the metrics, to decide whether I'm achieving the goals that I set out for or not. So actually keep a log. Say for example, you have made this niyat that you will pray Isha and Fajr in the masjid every day. Actually keep a log. Tick it off on your calendar and say, today I prayed, today I missed, whatever it was. So make sure that you measure that. That is very, very important. So also with the other things, whatever the other niyat that you make, keep a log of that and ensure that there are metrics. Anything which is measured can be controlled. What is not measured cannot be controlled, therefore it cannot be guaranteed. So we must make sure that when we make these resolutions, they don't become like a standard New Year resolutions. We make them and then on the 2nd of January we forget what we did. Here we are talking about actual implementation, which must be very clear in our minds, and therefore we need to implement that very seriously. So I think that's very important for us to keep in mind. Do a gap analysis and then do a measurement of the achievement of the resolutions that we set out to do. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu to reward you with the best of the best, inshallah, in this world and the next. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, when you make this niyyah, to change your life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the strength to fulfill this niyyah to the level of excellence which pleases Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as and to give you more from His generosity. Especially today, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you Laylatul Qadr and to grant you the acceptance of your du'as in Laylatul Qadr, inshaAllah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to keep you in good health and in good iman and good faith until the last breath, and then to take you in a state of good health and good iman when it is time for you to meet Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the last day of our, that's the beautiful dua of the sahabi which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him for and rewarded him for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the last of our actions the best of our actions, and to make the last day of our lives the best day of our lives when we will meet him jalla jalaluhu wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.